Remain standing. We're going to read Matthew chapter 4, verses 17 through 22. We continue our journey through this book, Matthew, and we're going to read from verse 17. This is word of God. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this precious time, time of hearing your word. We ask that your word will be preached correctly and that your will be understood by your people, that through your word that is preached, that they will see Jesus Christ and what he has done for them. That will cause us, all of us, to rejoice. For you have saved us from sin and saved us from this world and made us your people, your sons. Bless us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we left off at verse 17 last time. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Then from verse 18, we read about a story of Jesus calling four of his disciples. The kingdom of heaven has begun, and the citizens of that kingdom are gathered by its king. And that kingdom grows and grows, even today. The king brought his kingdom and gathers his people. Mark quotes Jesus preaching this way in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the world cannot see it. This kingdom is not visible to the physical eyes. Well, at least not yet. Jesus says in Luke chapter 17, verse 20b through 21, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. Nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. The glory and the power of the kingdom of heaven and the glory and the power of its king are hidden to the world. They are visible only through faith. The kingdom of heaven is not of this world. It is not a kingdom that is established through the power and the weapons of this world. It is through the gospel and through the people who believe this gospel. That is why this gospel is called, according to verse 23, the gospel of kingdom. And from chapter 5, we will see that gospel of a kingdom in more detail. But today, through our passage, we see the citizens of that kingdom being gathered by their king. And he continues that work even today. Look around, brothers and sisters. You have been also gathered by him, your king, Jesus Christ, your Lord. That is why today's passage is also your story. These four disciples represent all of you who are gathered, who are called by the Lord. Four disciples: Simon Peter, his brother Andrew, James the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. We see the same pattern again and again in Jesus calling his disciples. First, Jesus sees them, and Jesus calls them. Then they leave everything, and they follow Jesus. That is the pattern. Jesus sees and calls, and they leave everything and follow him. We see the same pattern in calling Matthew in Matthew chapter 9. In verse 21, we see Jesus sees two brothers, James and John, and he calls them. In calling his disciples, God initiates first. It is never people see God first and follow. God must call first. We have seen how the new Exodus has begun, the Exodus from this world. Jesus calls his people and they follow him. Just like the old Exodus, Hosea 11:1 says, "When Israel was a youth, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." The new Exodus has begun and he's calling his people. In Exodus 13:21, "The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night." The same thing happens today. God calls and God leads his people to follow him. You and I have been called by our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8 verse 30, "And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified." All four disciples who are called by Jesus in our passage, they are all fishermen. Jesus comes to them and say, verse 19, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Fishers of men. Instead of fishing for fish, now they are to fish for men. Well, you understand what Jesus means, right? It's pretty simple. I will make you fishers of men. But if you know the Old Testament better than you know right now, then you will realize that what Jesus says here is indeed amazing. Go to Jeremiah chapter 16. Jeremiah chapter 16, I'm going to read from verse 16. Behold, I am going to send for many fishermen. And notice what do those fishermen does. Declares the Lord, and they will fish for them. And afterwards, I will send for many hunters. And they will hunt them from every mountain and every hill and from the clefts of the rocks. For my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity concealed from my eyes. I will first doubly repay their iniquity and their sin, because they have polluted my land. They have filled my inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable idols and with their abominations. Fishermen, they are the instruments of God's judgment. In Jeremiah, God says that to Israel, but in Ezekiel, God says the same thing to the nations of the world, represented by Egypt. And if you go Ezekiel chapter 29, and let me read there. I'm going to read from verse 3, Ezekiel 29, 3. Speak and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now, obviously, Ezekiel is long past, you know, Exodus time. So, what is God doing, calling Pharaoh, Egypt? It's a symbolism. It's talking to the world. And the Pharaoh and Egypt is symbol of the world. Behold, I am against you, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great monster that lies in the midst of his rivers, that has said, my Nile is mine, and myself have made it. I will put hooks in your jaws, and make the fish of your rivers cling to your scales. And I will bring you up out of the midst of your rivers, and all the fish of your rivers will cling to your scales. I will abandon you to the wilderness. You and all the fish of your rivers, you will fall on the open field. You will not be brought together or gathered. I have given you for food to the beasts of the earth and to the birds of the sky. In Amos chapter 4 verse 2, the Lord God has sworn by his holiness, behold, the days are coming upon you, when they will take you away with meat hooks, and the last of you with fish hooks. From these verses, God describes his judgment as the fishermen coming and hook their fishing hooks to bring you out in your sin so that he will judge you. Do you see then, when Jesus Christ comes and says, I will make you the fishers of men. In Jesus Christ, God's judgment becomes his blessing. Now, fishers of men in Jesus Christ are no more the instruments of God's judgment, but the instruments of God's grace and his blessing. God fishing his people out of death to eternal life. God fishing his people out of this world into his precious kingdom, heaven. The time of grace has come. Jesus says, I will make you. Remember that. Jesus does not ask them, do you want to? Do you want to follow me? Is that what Jesus said? No, he says, I will make you. It is never if you want, then do, and if you do not want, then don't. No. You're not able. Even if you decided to, you're not able. Unless he makes you, you're not able. I don't care how much you decided in your heart. It is the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I will make you. It is never up to us. It is never because we want to. You didn't become Christians because you want to or you wanted to. No, Bible teaches the contrary. If you were left alone, you will never believe Christ. Of course, it is God who also gives us the desire. But still, it is never because I want to. We are not saying that our effort is not important, but it is never through our own effort. God must call. And how does he call if it is not through the church? But I want to. Okay, you want to. But did God call you? He makes us, and we follow, we obey. The pastors, the elders, the deacons, all Christians, all the same. God has to call. It's not about whether you want to. Follow me, he says. Very simple. Follow me. But if you are very honest about it, following Jesus Christ is not an easy thing. If you believe following Jesus is an easy thing, then that shows you're not really following him. Verse 20, immediately they left their nets and followed him. Verse 22, immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Aren't they stupid? Leaving their jobs, even their family. They just left their jobs, left their family, and follow Jesus. If you see these kind of people today, you will call them stupid. You will call them stupid. Not just anybody, you. I'm talking about you. You will look at them and go, what is that? You know how hard he worked for that job? And leaving this family. What's going on? Is Jesus saying that you must sell of all you have and give them to the church? And that you must forsake all of your family and come and live in the church? Is that what he's saying? No. Then what is he saying? And what are we seeing here? 1 Timothy, let's go there first. We have to look at that verse first so that there will be no mistake, you know, misunderstanding. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents. Ha! For this is acceptable in the sight of God. Taking care of your parents is something that God is pleased with. So don't think that here in Matthew we're seeing that God is commanding us to leave your parents and just forget about them. Go down to verse 8, 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. As the head of the house, you must take care of your family. Otherwise, you will be disciplined in this church. You are worse than the non-believer. But, having said that, but you cannot love anything or anyone more than Jesus Christ. If it is choice between Jesus Christ and your parents, then you must choose Jesus Christ. If the choice is between your job and Jesus Christ, then you must choose Jesus Christ. He's not saying regard your job as worthless and just be lazy, no. But there are times when that choice is like that. Mark chapter 8, verse 34, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In Revelation 14, 144,000 people, which represents the Christians, they are described as in 14:4, these are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Even in the Old Testament, we see this kind of example. Go to 1 Kings. First Kings chapter 19. Verse 19. Story is about Elijah calling Elisha. A prophet is calling another prophet to follow. Verse 19. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, while he was plowing with 12 pairs of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. The Elijah passed over to him and threw his mantle on him. That's the calling. He left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? So he returned from following him and took the pair of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the implements of the oxen and gave it to the people and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and ministered to him. Now some verses in the New Testament. Let's look at a few verses in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. And someone came to him and said, Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life? And he said to him, Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good, but if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. Is Jesus teaching Arminianism? Well, wait until we get to chapter 19. That's not what he's doing. Then he said to him, Which ones? And Jesus said, You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, All these things I have kept. What am I still lacking? Jesus said to him, If you wish to complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. God is not telling you to sell everything and give it to the church. It is like what the Lord says to Peter in John chapter 21. Do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than anything that you know? Matthew chapter 13. Verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Do you get the point? You find a treasure. And because you know how priceless it is, how valuable it is, with joy you go home and you sell everything so that you could get it. Because you know how valuable it is. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls, and upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. The same point. Lose all to gain Jesus Christ. Lose this world to gain Christ, or lose Christ and gain this world. Matthew 6, verse 24, No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. And I see in the Bible, period. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 8, But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. Paul count them all rubbish so that he may gain Jesus Christ. Do you understand, brothers and sisters, how hard following Jesus is? That's why in Luke chapter 9, let us go there together. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, in fact, he is saying, do you know what you're saying? Do you understand what you're saying when you said, you will come after me wherever I go? So he says, verse 58, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Do you understand? You still want to follow me? And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first go to and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Looking back. Remind us of wife of Job. I mean, wife of Lot. As they were coming out, the symbol of the world, she loved the world so much, she looks back. Because there's this lingering attachment to the world. Chapter 14 of Luke. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then, none of you can be my disciples who does not give up all his own possessions. Therefore, salt is good, but if even salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? If you are in a battle with somebody, you're going to calculate the possibility of your winning. No one is so dumb that they don't even think about how many people are coming and how many army that I have, you would calculate. Calculate what you will lose against what you will gain by following Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I want you to do that. Calculate. If I follow Jesus, I'm going to lose all these. But if I follow Jesus, I'm going to gain all these. Now, if what you are gaining is less than what you're losing, then why do you follow? Count the losses, brothers and sisters. Count the losses. I did. And I know what I'm gaining is far greater than what I'm losing. Because I'm gaining my Lord Jesus Christ. He is like that treasure. I'm able to sell everything just to gain Him. But if that treasure is not valuable to you, if you don't see the value in that treasure, why would you sell everything to buy it? Why? Are you ready to forsake all for Jesus Christ? Will you forsake all if He tells you to? Sound too unreasonable? Are you uncomfortable because you feel He is asking too much? You feel like that because you still do not understand the gospel, this gospel of heaven, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're sitting there feeling uncomfortable because you feel He is asking too much, you still don't understand the gospel. Do you understand Jesus Christ when He says, follow me? Do you understand what He's saying to you? Jesus Christ is calling you to participate in His glorious life. He is calling you to be like Him. He is calling you to imitate Him. Do you see it? It is God the Father who called our Lord Jesus Christ to be the fisherman, and our Lord Jesus Christ left everything to obey the Father for you. Do you see it? In our passage, Jesus Christ as the fisherman, He is fishing the four disciples. He is calling them to participate in Him being the fisherman, the fisher of men. Now you and I are called to be the fishers of men. And now we use His word and the fishing net as the fishing net, and we fish His people. And that's what this church is called to be. Brothers and sisters, listen very carefully. Remember that story of finding a treasure? And that you go back and sell everything and buying that land to have that treasure? That is Jesus' story. Do you get it, brothers and sisters? You are the treasure. And it is Jesus Christ who sold everything to gain you. And he's not just telling you hypothetical story. He's telling you what he has already done. Do you understand? It is the Father who called him as a fisher of men so that he dropped everything to obey the Father for you. Do you know that you are the treasure? He came and saw how valuable you are. Just being with you forever and ever is so valuable to him that he would sell everything. He would drop everything, even his life, to gain you. Do you remember the passage about calculating? That is also his story. Even before the foundation of universe, even before the foundation of universe, he calculated. In one hand, what would he lose? His life. All the sufferings. The persecutions. People spitting at him. People hitting his face. People ridiculing him. All that against what he will gain. You. You. I don't know, brothers and sisters. I don't know why, what kind of calculator he has. But to him, gaining you is more profitable. Why? I don't know. That in his calculation, even before the foundation of the universe, possessing you and me as his sons forever and ever, that was more profitable to him than going through all that suffering and even dying on that cross. So with that calculation, he came, gladly came, to gain you and me. Philippians 3, remember? Paul saying, I count all rubbish to gain Christ. That is his story. Do you see it, brothers and sisters, that he counted all rubbish so that he could gain you and me? Do you understand, brothers and sisters? When he says, come follow me, is it not your honor to follow him? When you understand what he has done for you, do you still believe he is unreasonable? Do you still feel he is asking too much? Look at what he has done for you. And he's saying, be like me. Follow me. Participate in my glorious life. Imitate me. And you have any reservation? Well, unless you still don't understand the gospel. Jesus Christ has fished us. We have been gathered. We are now His fishers of men. We follow Him. We imitate Him. We participate in Him being the fisher of men. In Matthew 19, Peter asked, 19:27. Then Peter said to him, behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us? And Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on His glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And anyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are the first will be last, and the last first. Brothers and sisters, those of you who thought that you are following Christ, careful not to be the last. The following Christ is continuous. You don't just follow one year and then not follow. Anyone who left the family for Jesus, you now have the eternal family of God. Anyone who left your father for Jesus, you now have the eternal Father of heaven. And so on, and so on. You get the picture. But more importantly, you and I, we have Jesus Christ, in whom we have complete satisfaction. Yes, Jesus is worth it. I calculated, and I hope you would too, just as Jesus has calculated. And for Jesus, and for you, and for me, gaining each other is more precious than anything. Possessing each other is more valuable than anything. He come all rubbish just to have you, just to have me. John chapter 10 verse 27, my sheep hears my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Do you hear His voice calling you? Calling out your name? Well, follow Him. Follow Him. You will not be disappointed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. It is so hard for us to understand why we mean so much to you, that you would give up everything and come seek us, that you will count all rubbish just to gain us. But Father, we thank you that that is your pleasure. And considering everything rubbish to gain you is our pleasure. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.